United States Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces is now open and in session. Please be seated.
Good morning. Our first case this morning is United States against Mendoza. Counsel for the defense, you may proceed.
Chief Judge Efron, may it please the court. My name is Lieutenant Catherine Cadlick, and I represent the appellant today here before you. The issue the court granted on today is whether or not the lower court erred in not mandating a new SJR in compliance with RCM 1106F after the lower court remanded appellant's case to a new convening authority for clarification of an ambiguous action. Pursuant to the rules for court-martial and case law, there is only one person that can do a corrected convening authority's action. That person is the original convening authority. In the absence of this, any action will be a new action. Any new action, pursuant to Gosser, requires a new SJR and a new opportunity for clemency. This court in Gosser noted, distinguishing the case before it from Lower, that rather than simply interpreting his predecessor's intent, as in Lower, the convening authority in this case took an entirely new action. This court went on to note the several factors evidenced in this taking of a new action. The first being staff judge advocate's recommendation, a new one that is. Secondly, that this was served on defense counsel. And third, but not as relevant to this case, that defense counsel specifically requested a new action in the form of clemency. This indicates that any time a subsequent convening authority comes onto a case where there is an ambiguous action, he must comply with RCM 1105 through 1107 and initiate this process anew. Any prejudice stemming from this is clear on the face of Article 60 and Article 70, and also in this court's case law.
Is there any dispute between the parties that this was a new action?
No, the government does not seem to contest that this is a new action. The lower court erred in applying a doctrine of staleness to this situation. There is no authority in this court's case law for this such a doctrine. Convening authority cannot just simply come along, a new convening authority that is, cannot simply come along and just comply with RCM 1107. That is clearly not the intent of Congress.
What, let's say you're correct that 1106 requires, if it's a new action, it requires a new SJR or an SJR. What colorful showing did the appellant make before the CCA that he was prejudiced by the failure of an SJR?
Appellant did not make a colorable showing in front of CCA, Your Honor.
How do you deal with Lowe? Let me make sure it's Lowe. Yeah.
I'm sorry, what was the question? How do I deal with
Lowe? Saying Lowe, didn't we have a case where you still had to make a colorable showing of possible prejudice?
To CCA. But this court has also noted in Rosenthal of the same instance, and it doesn't seem to apply such a strict reading of Wheelis in that case. It appears from the face of Rosenthal that the appellant's unrebutted affidavit was only presented to this court. And additionally, appellant would argue that some leniency is required because this isn't really a Wheelis issue. As it was argued before the lower court, it was a different type of issue that appellant argued was not subject to prejudice.
No. Where is the prejudice? You're arguing for per se rule. So are you saying you don't have to show prejudice? You saying prejudice is inherent?
Inherent in Article 60 because it terms what constitutes a new action and it involves RCM 1105 through 1107. The primary prejudice stemming from that is the appellant was denied his right to present matters in clemency to a different person acting as the convening authority, and the inherent power in this position should mandate that the appellant has this right anew.
Did the new convening authority state that he considered the matters presented to the former convening authority?
He did, Your Honor.
Okay. Was there any showing that there was anything intervening or anything additional that the appellant would have presented to the new convening authority had he had the chance?
A motion has been filed before this court, but it has not been granted.
Okay.
In conclusion, there is no such thing as staleness doctrine that the lower court applied. This court should adopt a per se rule that is implicit on the face of Gosser as to what constitutes a new action and what a subsequent convening authority must do in this new action. Prejudice, according to Wheelis, should not be a consideration in this matter because of the inherent nature of Article 60. If there are no more questions, that concludes my argument.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel for the government.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. I am Captain Jeff Shows, and along with Colonel Lou Puglio, I represent the government in this appeal. Neither the manual for courts martial nor this court has ever imposed a per se rule requiring a new statute jacket or legal officer's recommendation in compliance with RCM 1106F upon remand to cure an ambiguity in the convening authority's action, and this court shouldn't start now. This court in Willis specifically laid out the procedure for resolving claims of error associated with the convening authority's post-trial review. This court in Willis continued that because clemency is a highly discretionary executive function of clemency, there will be material prejudice to his substantial rights if the appellant can allege error and show what he would have done and makes a credible showing of possible prejudice.
In this I understand your prejudice argument. How do you address 1106? If this was a new action, is not this a convening authority taking action on a record of trial?
Well, it does, Your Honor. However, in this particular case, there was the prior legal officer's recommendation that's approximately 8 months old, and that was relied upon by the convening authority to take as a new action in this case.
So what the government wants is when a case is remanded for the CCA, you want the convening authorities to act without legal advice. You want them to be their own legal advisors, take the remand from the CCA, and figure out what to do.
No, Your Honor. As was the case here, the ideal situation, if they don't get a new staff judge advocate or legal officer's recommendation, to at least rely on the original staff judge advocate or legal officer's recommendation, assuming that it is factually and legally sufficient on its face pursuant to RCM 1106 and meets the requirements of the statutory requirements of 1106.
So what you want the convening authorities to do is to say, I don't want any legal advice in a case that I screwed up the first time and it's being sent back from the Court of Criminal Appeals. I want to figure it out myself without the help of the lawyer who helped me screw it up the first time.
Well, there's no sense that they wouldn't get the advice of their the staff judge advocate at this point in time, Your Honor. And again, they will be relying on the staff judge advocate's recommendation. And there's no evidence here that the original staff judge advocate's or legal officer's recommendation was ambiguous or false or inadequate.
But how does the convening authority know that there may have been a change in circumstances if he doesn't get input either from the staff judge advocate or gives the appellant the opportunity to submit clemency materials? I mean, it's clear that if I think it's clear that if there is a change in circumstances, he should take that into consideration. But if he doesn't get any information from anybody, how is he to know that?
Well, he would not know unilaterally, Your Honor, and the RCM, the MCM does say that he may take such changes in circumstances into consideration when enacting a new convening authority's action on remand. However, whether or not to execute a new SHR compliance with RCM 1106F, that at that particular time is a case-specific command decision. And once that decision is made, appellant can challenge that decision at CCA and establish what he would have shown per clemency, if given the opportunity, and therefore make us colorable showing of prejudice.
Should they have to wait until they get to the CCA? I mean, doesn't it make sense to have the convening authority have the information in front of him before he makes a decision?
Well, sure, Your Honor. I mean, ideally, it'd be better if the convening authority got it right the first time. However, that's not always the case. And in this particular situation, again, there's no rule, there never has been a rule requiring a new SJAR on remand to cure an ambiguity. But the rules are in place to allow the lower court and this court to cure such oversight if the appellant can't show error, allege prejudice, and show what it would have done.
Is it your view that 1106A is not applicable? Here we have a new convening authority taking a new action. Are the parties in agreement this was a new action?
Yes, Your Honor, this was a new action.
So what about 1106 is not applicable here? It says the legal officer, SJA, shall forward to the convening authority a recommendation under this rule. Now, are you reading shall as may, or are you saying, well, it doesn't matter as long as it could be any recommendation, it could be any random SJAR hanging around the office?
Well, Your Honor, in this
case, I'm just saying, how do you read this so that it's not applicable to this case?
I read this as saying that the convening authority shall refer to his legal officer or statutory advocate's recommendation. And in this case, he stated in his convening authority's action, the second one, Your Honor, that he did rely on his legal officer's recommendation. It was his legal officer in this particular case, Your Honor. Now, it was the original legal officer.
It was the same legal officer?
It was the same command, it was the same position in that command, Your Honor, and it was the same
so
appeal.
So the legal officer at the time, did he do what he shall do and forward to the convening? So you would say the obligation here is just to forward to the convening authority a recommendation. It can be one that's 8 months old, or could have been from someone. I mean, as you read it, it could even be a recommendation from some other case, right?
Well, no, Your Honor. As long as it applies to this particular case, and within reason, if the case were 4 years old and the original legal officer recommendation were 3.5 years old, then in that case, the proof he would to do.
So as long as he has a recommendation on the case, it doesn't matter if it's a current recommendation. That's how you read it.
Within reason, Your Honor.
So there are two ways to read the statute and the rule. One is that a new recommendation opportunity for defense response is required in every case, and if there's a failure to do so, that will then be tested for prejudice. The other way, which the government is recommending, is that the convening authority will decide on his or her own capability whether a new review and recommendation is required, and if they get it wrong, then we'll have litigation about it. I'm not clear on why the government wants the second answer.
Well, Your
why
Honor,
the government wants convening authorities without the advice of their staff judge advocates to determine whether the circumstances require a new review, recommendation and review, rather than requiring it in all cases and mooting that part of the appellate issue.
Well, Your Honor, there's no evidence on the record that there was no collaboration between the legal officer or the staff judge advocate, you know, whatever situation may be.
Do we have a document in the record saying, dear convening authority, this case was reviewed by my predecessor staff judge advocate or me as a staff judge advocate 8 months ago. I agree with the recommendation that I had then now, and I recommend that you now take the same action.
No, Your Honor, there's nothing that says that. However, there's also nothing that indicates the original legal officer's recommendation was insufficient and did not satisfy the requirements of 1106. That was not why the case remanded. The case remanded because of an ambiguity in the convening authority's action itself.
Well, counsel, if the convening authority had been the same person instead of a new convening authority, would this still be a new action, or would we be dealing with a different case?
Well, in that situation, Your Honor, the convening authority would have been able to clarify his action. However, in this situation, there was a new commander in the command, new convening authority, before he had to take an entirely new action in this case. There was no communication between he and his predecessor to clarify his intent as required by law.
So why doesn't it fall under 1106A?
I'm sorry?
So why then doesn't it fall under 1106A if it's a new convening authority and a new action? I mean, I understand if it was a correction by the same convening authority that it wouldn't fall under 1106A, but if it's a new convening authority, why doesn't it fall under 1106A?
Well, I would argue because the original staff report's recommendation still answers the mail, Your Honor. I mean, it still addresses the same case. It addresses the same, the charges, the sentence, and it hits all the limits required by 1106. So there's no need, I would argue in this particular case, there's no need for the staff to have this recommendation.
Well, I mean, that may help you as to why there was no prejudice, but I don't know how it helps you with respect to the rules themselves. Do you see the distinction?
Yes, Your Honor, I do. But if the court wants to establish a per se rule requiring a mandatory yes charge, it certainly can. However, that is not in keeping with the spirit of Article 59A, and that totally goes against precedent case law and statutory requirements.
Well, the issue is not whether the court wants to set a rule. It's the question of whether 1106 sets a rule. There are two per se things going on here. One is whether there's per se prejudice, and the other is whether 1106 requires a new or fresh or SJAR with every new action. So, in fairness, I don't think the court's asking you whether we should start making rules. We're asking you how to read this rule.
Your Honor, I would say that based on 1106, as long as the CA relies on a relatively fresh, not stale SJAR, legal office recommendation, and if that recommendation answers the mail and satisfies the requirements of 1106, advises him on the law, advises him on the charges, and advises him on the clinic.
And your view would be 1106 is satisfied?
Yes, sir.
And you move the prejudice, right? That's not new rulemaking. That's figuring out what this rule says.
That would be my interpretation, Your Honor. And of course, once we have the reliance on the original legal office's recommendation, then we have the convening authority's action and it's remanded back. And if appellant wants to establish what he would have submitted per clemency, he could do that. The court has that procedure in place. Your Honor, the government respectfully requests this court decline appellant's invitation to establish a per se rule requiring a new staff to judgments or legal officer's recommendation in compliance with 1106F on remand to cure ambiguity in the alternative or in turn to find appellant has not made his culpable showing of prejudice. If there are no further questions, that concludes my argument.
Thank you, counsel. Does the defense have rebuttal?
Before rebuttal, counsel would entertain, obviously, any questions from the bench regarding this issue. I'm sure that'll be evident. This is just highly discretionary function, and what the government urges this court to do is disregard the Congress' intent in Article 60. This process must be initiated anew when there is a new convening authority. In addition, the staleness doctrine enunciated by the lower court is no precedent and is clearly just unworkable. It doesn't comport with RCM 102. 1106A requires that a convening authority be advised by his or her.
Would you argue that if this was 1 week later, it doesn't matter so long as it's a new action? There needs to be a new SJAR. What if it's the same people, same lawyer, same everybody? The CCA, though, is not sending it back for clarity. It's just saying, forget that. We've been through that. Too complicated. Just do a new action. Are you saying new SJAR?
Yes, Your Honor.
Why?
Because circumstances could have changed. I realize it's only 1 week, but the rule says what it says. This is the most workable. If you go down the slippery slope of staleness, which is, I think, what you're trying to get at in your question, is just so much more efficient and comports with the spirit of Article 60, RCM 102, that this must be a new action.
What's your best prejudice argument if you have a pending motion, but putting that aside, you indicated earlier that the appellant did not put anything before the CCA. Is that... what would you hope we think about if we get to the issue of prejudice?
I would hope that you don't think that that's dispositive in this case, Your Honor.
If there's no prejudice, why wouldn't it be dispositive?
Well, appellant doesn't concede there's prejudice. Appellant concedes that the prejudice wasn't raised to CCA, Your Honor. And in appellant just directs this court to Rosenthal, where the application of Wheelis didn't seem to be as strict as it was in Lowe, Your Honor. If there are no more questions, then I conclude.
Thank you, counsel. Thank both counsel for your presentation today. That concludes the argument, and the court will stand in recess until 9:25 a.m.
All rise. The court will stand in recess until 9:25.